Says, come on, one more play. You can do it. Sometimes it's an opportunity for your buddies to stand around you while you get sick in the middle of the menu break more quickly. Sometimes it probably is a time when a player gets chewed out for a mistake or a missed assignment. I never had that problem, but every time it was my time to execute the play to the best of my
Linus.
This is your final drive as a Spartan.
Coach?
It's yours. You call the plays.
Strong right, 16, midline, 01. Strong right, 16, midline, 01. Ready for it.
Drive.
What's up? What are you doing?
Coach Sly's just doing this for me. He doesn't believe in it, but he won't say anything because he knows how important.
What are you talking about?
I don't want my last play as a Spartan to be about me.
Why not? You trained your butt off to get here. You deserve it. Look, it's an easy shot.
He never took the easy shot. Coming back to coach us, he could have died. And what have we done for him? Won a few games? A championship?
Nah, he's right. All the while we've been out here staring at the dirt, Coach been saying, look up. It's about time we did.
It's time for us to stand tall. Victory formation.
No, no, no. You gotta do it.
All right. Boys, no matter where we go or what we achieve, nothing's ever gonna come close to what we have right here, right now. You're all my brothers. Spartans for life.
Spartans for life.
Shotgun formation, direct snap on me on one. Ready?
De La Salle is lining up in shotgun formation, but Chris Ryan is at quarterback instead of Rick Salinas. This is a formation we haven't seen from De La Salle before. Look for Ryan to run this in for his record-setting 89th career touchdown.
Maybe this wasn't the best time to give Salinas free will.
For one another, what an awesome huddle that was. Thank you. We saw how the church in Jerusalem lived through some growing pains. says, with you in Jerusalem. And after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and has empowered you, he said, you will be my witnesses. Right? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. He commanded the church in Acts 1:8 to be witnesses to the uttermost part of the earth. But it wasn't until Acts 8:1 that they actually obeyed. You see, Acts chapters 1 through 7, so to speak, was the Bible. They gathered together in Jerusalem. They were fulfilling the Great Commission on a limited basis there in Jerusalem. But it wasn't until Acts chapter 8 and the many chapters that go on that they were actually executing the commands that God had. Exactly where God wants you. I know. I just pick our effects and friends.
factory, not reopen. Some are almost out of basements. You are the other. Considered that it wasn't a job that brought you here. Where are your girl? When it was God that brought you here for his service. You're not here on your job, and I think you are. But God now went under his control. You're not here because of a professional decision that you made. You are here in this place in Northwest Arkansas to serve God. And all of you who were not born here, known here, to serve God. The man that brought you, but that's your purpose. In order to reach the world, Christ put his people in different places to be his witness. In the book of Acts, they gathered together in Jerusalem to be in power. But then they were scattered to be witnesses. Let's look at the scattering to be witnesses. In verse 1 of chapter 8, so that at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 4 of Romans says, there are they that were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. You know what persecution can have? Powerful effects on the church. No matter how. Persecution can be harmful to the church, but so can prosperity. You see, prosperity brings with it a sense of power. Now, I'm not suggesting that we seek out persecution. But we should be careful to not allow what God has given to us, those things that he has prospered us with, to lull us into excessive ease and unconcern. Don't be no quarrel. And it's this very reason, this ease and comfort and unconcern for those around us that God is allowing the church in the United States of America to begin, just barely scraping the surface of feeling some persecution from the culture. But hey, while we're in Acts chapter 8, persecution was meant to put out the fire in the believer's hearts, but instead it just spread the fire. Let me give you a quick modern illustration. The gospel in China, in 1949 in China, when the national government was defeated by the communists, 637 China Inland Mission missionaries were recorded from the country. China Inland Mission is the organization that was originally started by Hudson Taylor and now is Overseas Missionary Fellowship, or OMF, and Brother Rob mentioned this a few weeks ago. In 1949, all of their missionaries were deported. But look what has happened. The chart is small, but you can see the big bars. You see the farthest bar over to your left. Your left. Shows the population of the Christian believers in China as of 1950. At that time, there were approximately 4 to 5 million believers in China. And it's estimated today that there are over 100 can scatter. Well, I can lay out real quickly three principles that we can learn as scattered believers. Number one, first principle, when scattered, they did not agonize. When scattered, they did not agonize. Believers got to not be decided whether they will simply be refugees or whether they will be missionaries. Now, what's the difference between a refugee and a missionary? Well, a refugee is constantly thinking about where they came from. They are afraid to go back. They are afraid to move forward. They are afraid of the past. They are afraid of the future. Their lives are ruled by fear. But a missionary's life is ruled by joy. And it takes the situation that they're facing, and they look not at the circumstances, but the missionary looks at the possibilities. Over and over again, Paul was in prison in his life. We're not going to be studying that section of Acts right now, but over and over again, he was in prison in life, and every time he had the choice to agonize over the situation or to make the conscious decision that, okay, God has me on a new mission. And I've got to capitalize. Right? Wherever you find yourself, when you're scattered by work, or by family, or because of your family, or education, or some other circumstance, how do you consider yourself planted in that place? Have you put down roots? You see the picture up there? My heart bruises this week. I had to ask for permission to share this, just so you know. And if I'm saying that you're immediately let me know first. But I know she put on Facebook, so it was okay, right? It's on Facebook, public knowledge. My heart remembered this week, and I don't know if you realize it or not, but the transition of our family from living in Southeast Asia for 12 years to coming back to Northwest Arkansas has been a very difficult transition. Imagine if you were 17 years old and your father asked you to leave all your friends and move to a place where you knew almost no one. It's been hard. It's been very hard. And she's been struggling. We've been praying through it. She's been working through it. This week, she drew this picture. It's not a school assignment. It's not anything that we encouraged her to do. But I think what it is it represents her decision to choose to bloom where she was planted. And by the way, that was her tag on Facebook when she posted it to Facebook. Bloom where you're planted. Now, it may not be persecution that moves us. It can be any kind of adversity in life. The loss of someone we love, the loss of a job, some other changes in circumstances in our life, moving 10,000 miles across the ocean. But whenever circumstances force us to face a new situation, we have a choice. We can choose to be refugees, wishing for the past and living in fear of the future, or we can choose to be missionaries, having our eyes open for the new opportunities that God is giving us. When the church in Jerusalem was scattered, they did not agonize. The second thing I notice is when they were scattered, they did not criticize. They did not criticize, you know. They did not criticize the leadership. Because of the sermon that Stephen preached, everyone felt the repercussions. They would easily blame Stephen.
speaking for all the problems in the church. But all the problems that they were raising, all the persecution that they were raising, they don't say, Stephen, you just want to shut up. You just want to keep your mouth shut. When we're facing these problems, you know what? When things go wrong, or even when things go right, it is easy to find fault with leadership positions. But false criticism cripples the church. Not only did they not recognize, when they were scattered, they did not criticize either. So what did they do? When scattered, they evangelized. They evangelized. They are ordinary Christians. Did you notice what it said there? In verse 1 at the very end. Now that they were all scattered abroad, all this, everyone except the apostles. The apostles were scattered. And all the church members that were scattered. They are ordinary Christians. The point that he's trying to get across, I believe, was that the ministry of the church was more than what the apostles were doing. The ministry of the church was more than what the apostles could do alone. But when we are going to see people wanting to Christ, if we are going to reach our community for Christ, our world with the gospel, it cannot be accomplished by the leadership of the church alone. If we're going to do a really good job of reaching our community, it will be because every one of us becomes active in sharing our faith. They spread the word informally by continuously speaking to those people that they came in contact with, the people that they met. They preached the gospel, it says, everywhere they went. They were telling the good news. They went out to their friends, they went out to their neighbors, and their new employers, everywhere they went, they were talking about Jesus. You know, you don't have to be a full-time minister or even a part-time minister to be a witness for Christ. If you are faithful to look for the opportunities that God puts before you, you will have an opportunity to share the truth of His Word. Be a love. As you're faithful to share, you will also get that opportunity to watch people to come to know Christ as their personal Savior. You know, we've got to take the time and we've got to spend the energy that it requires to get to know the people around us with a purpose of leading them. We're all busy. It takes time. It takes energy. But that's what we've been commanded to do. We have been empowered by the Spirit of God. He will be there with us. Just as He promised. And lo, I am with you. Now we must be His witnesses. I want to close with a simple illustration. It's on your bulletin. It's in your sermon notes. You can see it on the screen. A dandelion will never fulfill its purpose or its destiny unless its members are scattered. I'm going to run a dandelion in this morning and we personally, but I'm not starting growing yet. snowballs. And now I'll be given to us by our Creator to help us to remember, train my soul to see the God word in the hearts of people around us. We must be witnesses to them, because God's word cannot, it will not be effective unless it goes out. And praise God that He promises when His word goes forth, it will accomplish exactly what He has set forth for it to do. Father, in heaven, I thank You so much for this time together. And Father, I pray now for each one here. God, I just ask that You would help us to be the witnesses that we need to be. Father, help us to see the circumstances that we find ourselves in each day as Your doing.